today's bulletin, Human Rights Commission, National Children's Rights Commissioner, add their voices on calls to investigate an indigenous juvenile's death in custody. One woman has died as severe weather batters the country's southeastern regions. And the United Nations says the campaign to vaccinate Gaza's children against polio is underway. Australia's Human Rights Commission is seeking an urgent meeting with the West Australian Premier after another Indigenous teenager died in custody. Custodial staff found the 17-year-old unresponsive in his cell at the Banksia Hill Youth Detention Centre in Perth about 10 p.m. on Thursday. It also comes after 16-year-old Cleveland Dodd died in youth detention late last year. The Australian Human Rights Commission says it has written to WA Premier Roger Cook, seeking an urgent meeting to discuss youth justice policy and the operation of Banksia Hill. National Children's Commissioner Anne Hollands called on the federal government to urgently convene a national task force to work together on the reform of child justice in this country based on evidence and human rights. There have been 27 attempted suicides at the Banksia Hill Centre in the 2 months and the second person to lose their life in youth detention in the state in less than a year. Curtin University's Dr. Hannah McLeod told the ABC a significant change is required.
We think there needs to also be an independent youth justice commissioner appointed who can report directly to the Premier, who sits outside of justice because they have consistently failed and created such a dangerous environment, especially for Aboriginal children.
High school students from the New South Wales South Coast are showcasing culture through two bilingual books written using local Indigenous language, Dorga. We Belong to the Land, We Belong to the Sea is a collection of poems and stories written in Dorga and English by students at Vincentia High School. The poetry and artworks throughout the book were created during workshops with Kanai author Carly Saunders and Darawal artist Jazz Cole. For students like Jonah Atla-Pasco, who wrote the poem Diving for the anthology, the workshops and resulting book were an opportunity to share culture. He says, "My ancestors used to dive and collect seafood in order to eat and survive, and my poem tries to celebrate this part of my history." Wild weather continues battering Australia's southeast, with residents in New South Wales being warned the worst is yet to come. A 63-year-old woman has died after a tree fell onto her house near the Victoria-New South Wales border overnight, and a 63-year-old man is also in hospital with injuries. Flood emergency warnings have been issued in Tasmania for residents near the Derwent River, which is expected to exceed the major flood level of 7.3 metres. AusNet says around 112,000 homes across the southeast were without power on Monday morning, and significant delays are expected across Victoria's public transport system. Victorian Premier Jacinta Allan says Victorians must stay alert and keep updated on the warnings for their area.
For Victorians who live in heavily treed areas, please have a plan, keep in touch with the Vic Emergency app, and also, if you can, consider relocating to a family or friends if needed, because as we know, with events like this, community safety is absolutely paramount when our state is experiencing another extreme weather event.
A federal government initiative will see graduates, apprentices and trainees recruited to maintain Australia's future nuclear-powered submarine fleet. In an attempt to build up the necessary workforce for AUKUS, the initiative will allow submarine builder ASC Proprietary Limited to hire around 200 entry-level workers over the next 2 years. Most of the expected 2,000 new jobs created by the agreement will be based in Western Australia and will span fabrication, machining, engineering, project management, supply chain and operations. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese told the ABC the jobs will help develop the nuclear-powered submarine workforce.
Well, we're going to have 200 jobs for West Australians in apprenticeships, looking at the maintenance of nuclear-powered submarines. We'll be talking with people on the ground there. There's a US sub visiting, and we'll be having a look at that and talking to the workers there who are learning the skills that are required. This will be high-paid, high-value jobs here in WA.
The trilateral AUKUS agreement with the United States and the United Kingdom will see up to 5 nuclear-powered submarines located at the HMAS Starling Naval Base as early as 2027. Nationals MP Barnaby Joyce is accusing the Environment Minister of conspiring with a secret group when she decided to block the proposed location for a tailings dam at a gold mine in Blaney, New South Wales. Tanya Blibasek intervened in the project and has an Indigenous Heritage Protection Order rejecting the proposed site, drawing accusations from both Labour and the Coalition. A tailings dam is a dam for byproducts of a mine and includes highly toxic chemicals. The Wiradjuri Traditional Owners Central West Aboriginal Corporation has asked the minister to protect the headwaters and the springs of the Bulabula River. Ms. Pribasek told Seven Sunrise that the criticisms directed towards the decision are misguided.
This is a 2,500-hectare site with a gold mine and associated infrastructure on it. I've said very clearly that the gold mine can go ahead, but that they have to find a new site for the tailings dam that is not going to destroy the Bulabula River, which is important to local Indigenous people. It's a 2,500-hectare site, and I've said that they can't put a waste dump on 400 hectares of the site.
An estimated 500,000 protesters are demonstrating across Israel as frustration towards Benjamin Netanyahu's government is mounting. Protesters across Tel Aviv, Jerusalem and other cities are demanding that Prime Minister Netanyahu does more to bring home the remaining hostages after six more hostages were found dead in Gaza. The main union in Israel has urged workers to go on a one-day general strike to pressure the government into a ceasefire. The relative of one of the hostages killed in Gaza, Layat Corinne Unger, says more must be done to hold those responsible accountable.
Everything should be done to secure that a deal is reached and signed. Everyone must come home. Those who are alive to rehabilitation and those who were murdered and did not survive for proper burial. It's time for the suffering of innocence to end on all sides of the spectrum.
Polling has closed in Azerbaijan following a snap parliamentary election, with President Ilham Aliyev's new Azerbaijan party expected to remain in control. The election was set to be held in November, but was brought forward by Mr. Aliyev so that it would not coincide with Azerbaijan's hosting of the COP29 climate summit. And the United Nations have commenced their mission to vaccinate 740,000 children in the Gaza Strip against polio after Hamas and Israel agreed to brief pauses in fighting. The World Health Organization gave confirmation last month that an infant was partially paralyzed by the virus in the first such case in the Gaza Strip in 25 years. The United Nations says the first day of the campaign saw over 72,000 children receive their first dose of the vaccine, with a second dose needed after 4 weeks. UNRWA spokesperson Louise Wateridge says the pauses will need to be respected if the campaign is to succeed.
So far, everything is going to plan. The children are arriving, the families are here, the vaccinations are going well. We have the vaccinations in individual cool boxes to sustain the heat of the day. It seems calm and quiet in the Gaza Strip so far. The humanitarian pause is so far lasting, which is what we need to implement this vaccine campaign. And we will see how things go over the coming days.
And to sport, to the Paralympics, Australia has enjoyed its most successful day of medals at the Paralympic Games in Paris. Australian rowers Nikki Ayers and Jed Altrager have claimed gold in Paralympic rowing in Australia's most successful day at the Games so far. The duo won Australia's first Paralympic rowing gold in the PR3 mixed double sculls with a win time of 7 minutes and 26 seconds against Britain. Rower Eric Horry took home bronze in the men's PR1 singles sculls after the Italian rower Giacomo Perini was disqualified for having a phone in his boat. The two rowing medals were followed by a third place and finish for Marley Lovell in the women's T36 200 metres at the Stade de France and a team sprint bronze at the Velodrome for Gordon Allan, Corey Boddington and Alistair Donohoe. At the pool, Rowan Crothers grabbed silver and Tom Keller finished third in the men's S10 100 metres freestyle. And now having a look at the weather around the country, Broome sunny, 33 degrees, Perth sunny, 25, Adelaide wind easing and partly cloudy, 17, Melbourne showers, 14, Hobart showers easing, 12, Albury Wodonga mostly sunny, 12, Canberra possible shower, 15, Wollongong mostly sunny, 23, Sydney sunny, 26, Newcastle much the same, 28, Brisbane sunny, 34, Townsville similar conditions, 29, Cairns mostly sunny, 29, Alice Springs also sunny, 29, Darwin same conditions, 35 degrees, and the Torres Strait Islands a cloudy day ahead and a top of 30 degrees. And that is an ITV Radio News.